Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
country. We won't know if it is tomorrow with plans from Mr. Rowe. We'll see if Congress goes along with that. Welcome to the Monday show, half an hour show, and here are some of the issues that we're going to talk about or bring up. Just about every state, city, even federal government's got revenue sources. There are shortfalls, deficits, pending bond classification downward, all these problems and these shortfalls. Well, has anybody thought to look at are there revenue sources that are being overlooked or can be enhanced? In San Francisco, for instance, it's illegal what they're doing. And that is a parking ticket quotas. So quotas are illegal, but should be illegal in other parts of our lives as well. But the epidemic of reckless driving, and these drivers should be ticketed, and they need to. They're, in my opinion, and other people's who have been victims of reckless drivers, rear-enders, crashes, what they call OA drivers, texting on the cell phones. It's time to start increasing these fines, $500 to $1,000, making people who are repeat offenders take a driving a refresher course and charge them for it, $100, $200. And if they don't pay, take away the license, take away the car. Because these insurance costs are going up, and nobody looks at the medical costs from accidents. And guess who pays? The safe driver, the guy that the person drives safely, obeys the laws, doesn't text, doesn't use a cell phone, drives safely, and, you know, looks out for these crazy bicyclists more and more who think they have special rights, privileges, and exemptions on the roads. They pay nothing. There's no, a lot of them, most of them don't have insurance. But did you know that if you are a homeowner or you have an apartment and you have insurance, that this could possibly cover any accidents that you get involved in while you're on your bicycle? So that's something to consider. And if you can't afford apartment insurance or homeowners, check with your agent on that. One of the unfortunate things that's happening with this gay, lesbian, or NAMBLA crotch politics agenda, which is crept seeped into all parts of our of society, is the new agenda item that we have this lesbian jurist, a woman who's retiring from the bench, she should have been there in the first place, is now demanding that judicial candidates be questioned as to their sexual preference and how they feel about gay, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgender issues, or what I call special rights proposals. So beware, this is coming out of California and maybe coming from across the country. It also is, I believe, cropped up into one of the congressional hearings for a local judge in Washington, D.C. When you bring your car into a mechanic, can you trust that mechanic? Can you trust that dealership? Can you trust that auto repair shop? When they take your car out on the road, are they going to drive it safely? Are they going to, if you've got an expensive car like a BMW, an Audi, a Volvo, one of the big SUVs, are they going to drive it like they're on the Autobahn, or are they on at Sebring or the Indianapolis Memorial Day race? This is increasingly occurring on the streets of San Francisco and the highways of California. If you travel, you see these people not signaling, making illegal turns, pulling in front of you without enough space between you and them, not signaling, giving you the finger in some cases. So this is something you should be aware of. We will be going and putting up the videos that we have exposed of reckless mechanics, and with the license plate number and the service tag, which is on the mirror. I think we were able to pull it up with the camera. So, and we'll be giving you, forwarding the response, if there's any, from the dealership or the auto mechanics shop, independent shop. So, you know, if your car gets involved in an accident with a mechanic driving it, you're going to get sued. Of course, you sue a mechanic and you probably won't want to deal with these people anymore, and say a few other things. So today, here are, on January 24th, the interesting birthdays, which have an effect. These births can be related to the people who were born this day. Some things about them can be related to things that are going on today. In 1746, one of the last Gustavs, the third king of Sweden's, started the Swedish Enlightenment. I don't know what that is. I didn't have time to look it up. But there seems to be some importance to it, considering that Sweden, at the time in the 17th century, was the premier military power on the continent, and they were always fighting with Peter the Great. He finally defeated them at the Battle of Poltava, and that was the end of the Swedish military supremacy in that part of Europe. In 1862, this great writer was born, Edith Wharton, whose other name was Jones. So those of you who enjoy literature and you've read about some of Edith Wharton's works, this was her birthday. And then we had the guy who invented the rocket-propelled engine. On the military channel, they've been showing documentaries on German aircraft development and how they invented the jet engine, and had they had enough of them, they could have shot down our entire 8th Air Force and the British Air Force. It's no wonder that Air Marshal Harris, Bomber Harris they called him, wanted to bomb the hell out of Germany and flatten it. And then one of Hitler's worst generals, he would make a good sergeant, Walter Model. He was called in at the end of the war to buck up the Wehrmacht. The troops there realized that the war was lost, and they didn't want to end up in the hands of the Russians. This is not as well publicized as it should be, but at Stalingrad, for instance, and other areas where the Russian army had captured German soldiers and naval sailors, I think, on the Baltic. They were sent to the furthest part of Siberia. At Stalingrad, over 100,000, which happened in 1943 in January, Marshal Paulus, who was Catholic, he refused to commit suicide. Hitler thought that if he raised him to the rank of a marshal, that he would realize that no German marshal had been taken a prisoner in the whole of German history. But von Paulus, who was Catholic, said he couldn't commit suicide, and he didn't. He went into captivity, but his was more of a splendid captivity. He was kept under house arrest, I understand, in Moscow. He returned, I think, in the late 60s, to East Germany, which was still under Russian domination, and he died there. His wife died while he was in prisoner in Russia. But 100,000 troops in the Wehrmacht who were encircled at Stalingrad, they went into Russian captivity, and by the time the Russian commissars and the Khrushchev and those people decided to release them to East Germany, only about 10,000 had survived that horrible captivity and were returned to East Germany. Now, one of the late program director, station manager of KALW-FM here in San Francisco, where I was a producer, I did interview him briefly. Unfortunately, we lost that interview. But he was a sergeant in Patton's Army, and he was at the railroad station where Russian POWs had been captured by the British and the Americans under the terms at Yalta that Stalin extracted out of Roosevelt, that all Russian POWs had to be repatriated, whether they wanted to or not, be repatriated to the Soviet Union. Now, in Vlaslov's case, General Vlaslov was a hero at the Battle of Moscow, and then as a Ukrainian, he turned against Hitler, against Stalin, excuse me, joined German army, or had his division. They were captured at the end of the war, and what happened was, according to Ted Samuel, who was a sergeant at the railroad station, he said some of the Russian POWs tried to commit suicide, hanging themselves, slitting their wrists, and all that sort of thing. Now, the Americans turned all the Russian POWs over to the Russians and the KGB, or NKVD is what it was called at that time. And the British, sectors where the British Army had Russian POWs, they ignored the Yalta Agreement, where all the Russian POWs that the British had captured had to be turned over to the Russian Army. What happened when the train carrying the POWs reached the Moscow railroad yards, the marshaling yards, the NKVD was waiting there for people like General Vlaslov and some of the officers in Vlaslov's army. This is a segment of World War II history that is not well publicized. And what happened was Vlaslov was taken to the notorious Lubyanka prison, and there were others who, and there he was tortured every day, horrible tortures, which were printed in detail in Izvestia and Pravda, the Russian newspapers, and that was Stalin's warning to anybody that crossed him and who had betrayed the motherland, as it were. So this is should be of interest to historians who should look into this further. Also today, and then Moto, at the end of when he realized that the Wehrmacht was not going to, Hitler was not going to win World War II, he blew his brains out. He late and unlamented, as we say. And then those of you who've seen the CBS program Air Power, which was CBS's answer to Victory at Sea, but they never came to popularity, even though it was a very good program narrated by, I think, Walter Cronkite, the soundtrack, Air Power, was a symphonic suite composed by Norman Del Joyo, who was born today, and it was a Philadelphia orchestra under Eugene Ormaty, who played the music and recorded it. So it's something you should look for. It's out on CD now. And Ormaty is an interesting character. He was born in Hungary, and he his name was Jano Blau, and he emigrated legally to the United States when he was 16 or 17. He played violin in pit orchestras in New York City, and then became a conductor and changed his name to Eugene Ormaty. I guess Jano Blau would make it. He was one of the great conductors in American history. A lot of Hungarians and Central Europeans, Fritz Reiner, George Zell, all these composers and conductors took over American orchestras. I have an interview with a musician who played with the Cleveland Symphony, which was conducted for a long time by George Sell, who was a tyrant, and we'll play that at a later date. And let's see. Oh, and along the ballet lines, Maria Talchev was born today. She was a Native American, I think, from Oklahoma, and she was one of the great ballerinas in American ballet history. And then this is one that I was in Haight-Ashbury when this murder occurred. Sharon Tate was born today. She was a victim of Charles Manson and his followers in that horrible murder down in Southern California, massacre. And I had met Manson on the street. I didn't know who he was, but my experience was when I was living in Haight-Ashbury that I was in the presence of incarnate evil. I'll never forget that. And then, let's see, Elliot Abrams, controversial Jewish background. He was born today. He was U.S. State Department hawk. And then we had John Belushi, the actor from Chicago. I think he committed suicide. He was born today. And those of you who remember Blues Brothers, that outrageous, funny film, him and I think his Dan Aykroyd, who was Canadian, born in Canada, they were the stars of that film, The Blues Brothers. And then today's deaths on this date, we had the notorious Caligula. Now, Caligula, the Latin translation means little boots, and he murdered his uncle Tiberius, who was a pedophile. They used to swim naked in his pool with little children, and they were called Tiberius's minnows. Caligula was even worse. He had sex with his sister. He committed all kinds of horrible sexual crimes. There was a notorious film done by Guccione of, I forget, the magazine, and Gabe, as one critic described it, Gore Vidal was involved to a point that he withdrew and realized how bad it was and didn't want to sully his name further. So one critic referred to the movie as giving pornography a bad name. And then Winston Churchill died today. He was 90 years old. I remember that. And we will play some excerpts from his speeches because he was one of we don't hear great oratory today. I fortunately had as my speech teacher at Wright College was Professor Dolly Thornstrom, and her student before me several years was Marilyn Kim Novak. She didn't use her first name. And she was Polish extraction, ethnic from Wicker Park, I think, in Chicago, which is now one of the gentrified areas. And then, let's see, who else was born today? George Kukor, who was gay, another Hungarian who Central Europe who emigrated here legally. And he did a lot of the Catherine Hepburn films, a lot of those funny films. And somebody remarked, because he's gay, that's why he probably understands these type of women. And then L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who started Dianetics and Scientology. Now, his first name was Lafayette, and Ronald was middle name, and then Hubbard. And then the first black appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court during Lyndon Johnson's administration was Thurgood Marshall. I think the last appointee to the Supreme Court, controversial woman, Kagan may have clerked for him at one time. Thurgood Marshall was famous for, he did a lot of the civil rights work in the South when it was pretty difficult for black lawyers. It was even worse for black lawyers. It was bad for, it was dangerous for even white lawyers, but he managed to survive. I think he married a woman of Filipino extraction. And then on this date, Katie Couric, who's from, I think, born in Virginia, her husband died. I'll say no more about that. And then this is one of the first cases of the secular leaders, rulers, interfering in the Roman Catholic Church. And they had this, in 1076, they had the Synod of Rome, that meant there was a gathering of Worms in Germany. And this was a gathering of the bishops and leader of Germany at the time fired Pope Gregory VII. I don't know how he got away with that, but he did. And then in 1639, Connecticut was organized as a was first organization. And then on medical news, this is should be important. The first since 1656, the first Jewish doctor arrived in the United States or in the colonies. His name was Lumbago. And I recommend this book by University of North Carolina called Doctors Under Hitler. A lot of the German doctors were trained at the best universities and had practice in Europe, Vienna, Heidelberg, Berlin. When Hitler started his own political program, if you want to call it that, and the prelude to the extermination of the Jews, Jewish doctors who could emigrate did. They had to give up all their possessions and pay an exit fee, as it were. Those who came to the United States were discriminated against by the American Medical Constituency, let's put it that way, because the Medical Association had not been set up by Dr. Morris Fishbein, which was set up in Chicago, as I recall. Used to cover a couple of their conventions. But anyway, today, because we have some of the best hospitals in this country, they have Jewish names on them. It's because Jewish doctors who fled here from Europe were not allowed to practice. They were discriminated against by the American hospitals and the Anglo medical staffs. So they got together and started to set up their own hospitals. And these are some of the finest hospitals in the country, some of the finest doctors. And there's no discrimination. You have Catholic priests coming in. I've been in a couple of Jewish hospitals. And horrible things that the medical profession did at that time. But there's a great book out called Doctors Under Hitler. It's still in print, and we'll excerpt some of them because I had reviewed the book and also had covered some of the Medical Association conventions. And then today, also, Peter the Great, one of my great heroes, 1722, when he tried to reform Russia, he started the Russian Civil Service. And then this started the California exodus, or not exodus, but immigration. The world rushed in. It's a title of a book, and you should read that. And also Kurt Gentry's book about and it covers prostitution in San Francisco, where young boys who went west, they couldn't find jobs, so they ended up in what were called peg houses. And I'll describe it as discreetly as I can. On the wall, as the male customers entered, there were pieces of wood of various sizes, and that indicated what the unfortunate boy could handle. I'll describe it that as far as I'll go with the description. What KQED, which is now controlled by a lot of the gays, and they have that agenda. They recently did a TV show, and they had Kurt Gentry on it. I don't know if they edited this out. Then we're talking about the madams of San Francisco, which is quite interesting. Any reference to boy prostitution or sexual abuse of boys, which did happen at places like Donna Dina Cameron House, and it went on for 40 years. And today there are adult Chinese ethnics, some who emigrated here as boys, probably came illegally, who were sexually abused by the minister who ran the place. And you can go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, where we documented some of that. Unfortunately, this program, The Madams of San Francisco, did not cover, or they censored out the fact that one or two of the madams also had young boys for customers, male customers who were that, quote, persuasion. It's unfortunate that they do this thing, but, you know, they're trying to cover up all of the predatory behavior of homosexuals throughout the history of the United States. Also today, when you put on your shoes, and, of course, we have cobblers, it's a dying industry, the rubber heel was invented today, or it's patented in 1891. And then the Boy Scouts were started by General Robert Baden Powell. And this has significance to San Francisco because one of former Governor Schwarzenegger's worst appointments was this of this British lesbian named Angela Bradstreet, who claims she had to leave England. We don't know why. There are a lot of suspicions. She's a lesbian activist who tried to browbeat the entire legal establishment community of California into not donating any money to any organization that supported the Boy Scouts, because the Boy Scouts do not allow predators in pup tents, as it were. And the Boy Scouts do keep a computer database of suspected or known pedophiles who try to become scoutmasters, because the Boy Scouts have been hit with some, like the Catholic Church, have been hit with some very big judgments for failing to protect the boys when from sexual predators. But yet this Bradstreet woman, who didn't even have children, decided that it's her agenda. It's you know, she's going to tell judges, lawyers, law firms, 501c3 organizations that funded the Boy Scouts, that until the Boy Scouts change their policy and allow predators in as scoutmasters, that they should not receive any public donations or money. And so Schwarzenegger, because she backed him for governor, appointed her as one of his worst appointments. There are a couple of other ones, you know, here, and here's a guy who came from Austria. His father was an alleged Nazi official. He was born after the war. And his grandfather-in-law, Joseph Kennedy, was ambassador to the court of St. James to Britain. And he was pro-Nazi, according to his critics, and FDR had to recall him as ambassador. So life is very circular when it comes to this type of history. And then in 1915, we had the Battle of Jutland, which was the only naval battle and the biggest surface naval battle, and one of the last in modern history, between the British and the German fleets. And controversy over whether the British won. They had 50 more ships in the German High Seas Fleet, as it was called, but the Germans managed to fight the battle, and then they sailed back to the Kiel and their ports, and Admiral Jellicoe was criticized for not pursuing the Germans, and so the Germans went back to their unrestricted submarine warfare, which was used as an excuse by Wilson to drag us into World War One. Excuse me. And then we had, and if you like Eskimo pie ice cream, that chocolate-covered vanilla ice cream on a stick, the guy who invented it, was from Iowa. Nah, he wasn't an Eskimo. Charles K. Nelson was born today. So here is a, and then this is important, we'll bring this up because it deals with the Muslim women who come to the airport and they don't want to be touched by men. But in the Algerian uprising started today, and Charles de Gaulle was his second attempt at being president of France. And it's interesting how the French army dealt with suspected Algerian women who were terrorists. Well, they checked all of them and how they handled them. We have a clip. And then this is another medical thing. The first known AIDS transmission through heterosexual oral sex was documented today. And so here is a clip of what's coming up on, this is a preview clip. Where is it? On lawyer malpractice. You need to pay attention to these things.
Number one on the bad list is an inadequate knowledge of law or facts. That type of claim has resulted in the highest indemnity and defense payouts. Number two is a failure to properly calendar matters. Number three would be the personal involvement of the attorney in the case. Number four being malicious prosecution. And number five being inadequate protection of the client in financial matters. If we had...
We will, there'll be another preview on Wednesday at 5:30 on, it's very important, as we've always said, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, especially in legal matters, because there's growing scandals with the legal community, especially with prosecutors rigging cases so they look good for the voters. So we'll end today with a little quickie. Here we go. we will see you, Wednesday. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site.
I got too much on my mind to play poker. King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
So we'll be back Wednesday, and we will have another interesting group of subjects. So thank you for tuning in, and this will remain up on our site, so you can download it on your iPod or whatever. Good night.